So, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri, and the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on Hurricane Katrina when we come back. You know, the genocidal policy of Global 2000 and the New World Order are the greatest threats to our lives, our liberties, and our property since Noah's flood. And now our national leaders have subscribed to a plan created by the Club of Rome, the United Nations, the Trilateral Commission, and a whole host and plethora of other lesser policy-making think tanks. The plan is to reduce the Earth's population by 90% over the next 50 years. Now, that's correct. That's 90% over the next 50 years. You know, you and I ought not to delude ourselves into believing that we're going to stop all of these mad scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians in their insane scheme to enslave the world and impose this New World Order tyranny, a world with a New World Order upon all of us. But you know, you and I don't have to participate in our own demise. We do not have to help finance them. We don't have to stand helplessly by and do nothing either. That's why I contend that it's time that you and I wise up and we start listening more to the God of Israel and stop following after all these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians, and let's prepare to live through and survive this Global 2000 New World Order nightmare. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free General Law CD package? That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge. You can call now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the Subsistence and Survival School is available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can go to the website georgegordon.org and just click onto the email machine and send an email request for that free General Law CD package. That's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, last time I said that New Orleans has God's fingerprints all over it. Bill Bennett today on, I don't know, the Today Show, I guess it was, or Good Morning America, I forget what I was watching. Bill Bennett was on and he said that this catastrophe, this disaster, is of biblical proportions. Boy, he's not just whistling Dixie. For the last two or three programs, I have outlined the costs that are involved. This is a $1 trillion hit. This is big. This isn't just a hurricane like Hurricane Andrew blows through, knocks some houses down, costs $20 billion to fix it up. This has depopulated the 23rd largest city in the nation. It has immobilized the largest port in the country. It has knocked offline 12% of the nation's gasoline and petroleum output. I mean, this has never happened in America before. This is decidedly of biblical proportion. So I thought, well, it's time to take a look at the Bible then and find out, did God ever tell us that he was going to do this to us? And what about all those people that were praying to Jesus and saying, God, please, please don't let this hurricane destroy our city, destroy my home? Now, you can rest assured that there were a lot of people out there praying, but was God listening? Does God listen to your prayers? Does God hear the prayers of the pulpit parrots of America and all of the 65% of the people who go to church every Sunday and give their tithes and offerings to the preacher and do all those things? You know, they feed bums in Skid Row and they have soup kitchens and all this. Does God hear their prayers? In John 9, verse 31, flip over here if you got a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, just listen up and you can trust me. See if I can quote this directly. I'm going to flip right over here in my trusty King James. Guy asked me one time, how come you use the King James? And I told him plainly, I said, hell, if it was good enough for Moses, it's good enough for me. The King James version of the Bible, written back around 1611 by our illustrious homosexual King, King James, has a few errors here and there in it, but by and large, it's pretty accurate, pretty close to factual. It's got a couple of mistakes in it, 172 to be precise. There's a book written called 172 Mistranslations in the King James, but once you find those mistranslations and correct them, it gets to be pretty accurate. Flip over here to John 9, verse 31. Listen to this. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. All right, now it tells you the answer. All of you people out there praying, if you are a sinner, God does not hear you. And Christians run around bragging about the fact that we are all sinners. Well, that's got a little bit of truth to it, but it's about 90% error. Most people are sinners, and they continue to sin, and they do so willingly and willfully. They're out intentionally sinning. It's kind of like I mentioned last time on Mardi Gras. Has it ever occurred to anybody that maybe Mardi Gras is one of our problems down there in New Orleans? I'm going to tell you about that today. But I thought I'd introduce the subject matter of, does God hear sinners? I didn't write this, so don't get mad at me. But he says right here, now we know that God heareth not sinners. Now that's John writing under inspiration of God. The scripture says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. If that's true, those are the words uttered by Jesus himself, the creator of the universe, the guy that said, let there be light, and there was light, the guy that walked on water. You'd think that a guy that could create the heavens and the earth could stop one crummy hurricane. You'd think that a guy that could walk on water and still a storm. I mean, you remember that story when you went to Sunday school, there was a storm and Jesus, you know, stilled the storm. Peter got real excited and he said, hey, boss, don't you know that we're about to be swamped and sunk and drowned like rats out here on the sea? And Jesus got up and he said, be still in the sea. I don't know if he said be still, but whatever it was he said. The apostles were really shocked. They said, who is this guy that even the elements, the weather, the storms hear his voice and obey his voice? Now, that was a real God. That was a guy that could have stopped Katrina. Now, I'm sure that there were a lot of preachers praying and there was a lot of lay people praying, but God doesn't hear sinners. Who does he hear? All right, now listen up, because here's who he listens to. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Okay, so we may be sinners, but if we work hard to do his will and we obey God and keep his commandments, him he heareth. Were there any people down in New Orleans or the Gulf Coast down there that were working hard to obey God and keep his commandments, that does his will? And by the way, what is the will of God? For this is the will of God, that we keep his commandments. Now, your preachers are out here busily telling you that the law is abolished and done away with, nailed to the cross, and you ought to go practice Mardi Gras, take all your clothes off, walk naked down the street, and see who you can hit on and score with tonight. Now, that's the exact antithesis of thou shalt not commit adultery. There are 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments in the scripture. That's less than the 2,000 traffic laws that you have in your state. You have three times as many traffic laws in your state, the God that you worship and practice and obey, than there are in the scriptures. And that 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, when you shake them all out, devolve into just 133 subject matters, just 133 laws. That's all there is. 133 things that you need to learn, 133 things that you need to do. And that's because some of those statutes, judgments, and commandments are repeated more than once. There's more than one statute that regulates theft. There's more than one statute that regulates adultery. So you only have to learn 133 of these laws. Now, I find it hard to believe. You know, you'd have to be almost brain dead. You'd have to be retarded down to around 75, 80 or something like that, you know, in order to get to a point that you couldn't grasp, comprehend, and practice 133 laws. Now, a woman was asked down in New Orleans, this reporter said, do you think that this is going to affect Mardi Gras? And she said, horse feathers, there will be Mardi Gras. So I thought, well, let's go look up Mardi Gras. Let me give you a little lesson here, boys and girls, on one of the problems that you got. On the Gulf Coast of Mississippi, you have six gambling casinos down there. Did you know those gambling casinos are against the law? Did you believe for a moment that Jesus authorized or gave you permission to open these casinos and to practice gambling? I'm going to show you what the law is on gambling and what laws it violates. It violates the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal, and the tenth commandment, you shall not covet. Now, God gave us an instruction. He said, by the sweat of your face, or in the sweat of your face, shall you earn your bread or eat your bread. Our attitude is, no, that's a lie. We will eat our bread in air-conditioned luxury around the water cooler with the secretary sitting on my lap, but no sweat. We want to practice limited liability rather than strict liability. We want to practice the exact opposite to the laws of God, and we want all the benefits and blessings that come from the law of God. Oh, we're not opposed to rain in due season. You can't say that Hurricane Katrina is rain in due season. That is a curse, not a blessing. We want the blessings, but we don't want to obey God to keep his commandments. And John 9:31 tells you that God does not hear sinners. So if you're one of these people that break the law with impunity, don't practice the law and brag to people, I'm under grace, I'm not under the law. You don't need to waste your breath praying to Jesus because he ain't going to hear you anyway. He told you that. I'm not listening to that crap. But here's what Mardi Gras is all about. It's quite a little story. Every year, more than 4 million people come to New Orleans from around the world to be part of what is often billed as the greatest free party on earth. It's called Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras, also called Carnival in some countries, is celebrated internationally. We're going to focus here on the festivities in New Orleans, Louisiana. Beginning in January, the city of New Orleans starts a variety of festivities that culminate with Mardi Gras Day or Fat Tuesday, the day before Ash Wednesday and Lent. For about 2 weeks before Fat Tuesday, residents and visitors alike enjoy dozens of parades with wildly imaginative floats bearing outrageously costumed partygoers, tossing colored beads into the screaming crowds. The parties continue into the night as revelers seek out distinctive New Orleans jazz and blues, as well as Cajun and Creole food. Now, let me pause right here and ask you, do you know what Cajun and Creole food is? Well, it's things like shrimp and and beans and corn and alligator and turtle soup. And I mean, these people are very imaginative. And New Orleans is known for its cuisine. It's known for all of the wonderful food that they eat, most of it unclean. In fact, Louisiana is the only state that I have ever experienced this, but we stopped in a restaurant in some little town somewhere in Louisiana on our way to New Orleans one time. And there wasn't a single thing on the menu that I could eat, that our family could eat. See, we follow the biblical dietary laws. So I'm going to point out to you people that the people of New Orleans do not follow the biblical dietary laws. And you go to church, you people in New Orleans, and your preachers tell you that you don't have to follow Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14. And that those laws are abolished, done away with, and that you can just eat whatever you want. Well, there's two problems with that. Number one, that's why you have to have a health care system. That's why you have heart attack and stroke, atherosclerosis, arterial sclerosis, cancer, muscular dystrophy, Parkinson's disease, etc. It's because of the food that you eat. That's number one. Number two, you're giving the finger to God. And number three, when God goes ballistic on you, he sends hurricanes like Katrina. Okay. Now, eating unclean food is not the only cause for Hurricane Katrina, but it's just one of many breaches of the terms and conditions of this contract. You see, boys and girls, we agreed that we would not eat these unclean foods, and then we turned around and eat these unclean foods, and that's called a breach of contract. That's a violation of the terms and conditions of our contract with our God. Okay, now that's one. Now, there's a second. In Isaiah 1, verse 14, let me flip over here to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 14, and as they say down at the card room, read them and weep. Listen to this. It says, therefore, the Eternal himself shall give you a sign. Excuse me, wrong page. You have to forgive me. I'm a plumber. 114, here we go. He says, your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They're a trouble to me, and I'm weary to bear them. So in Isaiah 1, verse 14, God says, he hates our feasts. All right, now what is this feast? Well, beginning in January, the city of New Orleans starts a variety of festivities, feasts, that culminate with Mardi Gras Day or Fat Tuesday. Boys and girls, write that down in your notes. Mardi Gras Day and Fat Tuesday. Then go to your concordance and see if you can find Fat Tuesday or Mardi Gras Day in the Bible anywhere. Can you find the feasts of God? And he says, I hate your feasts. Mardi Gras is your problem, boys and girls, not your solution. Now, this lady said, horse feathers, we're going to have Mardi Gras. I'm sure this lady is correct. I'm absolutely certain you people are indeed going to have Mardi Gras, and you're going to have more trouble. Giving this God the finger is not wise. That's not very bright. Now, if you want to go to the pulpit parrots and listen to some nitwit and stand up there and mouth off and say nothing for an hour, have at it. I'm not opposed to that. Get with the program. But if you want to protect your life, your liberty, and your property and live long enough to see the second coming, you got to stop this Mardi Gras crap. You got to get off these feasts of New Orleans, the feasts of Louisiana, and get onto the feasts of God. Now, I'm going to show you what the feasts of God are. You're not going to like this. But then, you know, I didn't call you up and say, send me some money. I don't need your money. I don't need your help. I don't need your agreement. All I'm here is a reporter. I'm here to deliver a message. I'm here to deliver the message. Here it is. It says, and the Eternal spoke unto Moses. This is chapter 23 of Leviticus. Verse 1. The Eternal spoke unto Moses. He said, you speak unto the children of Israel, and you say unto them concerning the feasts of the Eternal, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. Now that's verse 1 and 2. So here's the Creator God. He comes up to Moses and he says, hey, sit down here, shut up, fold your hands, Moses, and listen up. Moses, being from the old school, sat down, shut up, folded his hands, he listened up, he got his pencil out here, sharpened it on both ends, and he wrote this down. Leviticus chapter 23. I'm not going to belabor the issue by reading the chapter to you. I've just told you where it's at. There are seven feasts in here, and here's what they are. Passover. When was the last time you practiced Passover? The days of unleavened bread. And there's two holy days during the days of unleavened bread. The first holy day and the seventh day is the holy day. Holy convocations. These are the days that you should be going to church. These are the days you should be going to listen to Pulpit Parrot. You should be telling you about Passover and days of unleavened bread. Those are in the Bible. Fat Tuesday and Mardi Gras Day aren't there. Now, you can go look for them if you want, but you'll be wasting your time. I'm telling you where the feasts of God are located. Now here's verse 3. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath. It's the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation, and you shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all of your dwellings. Now New Orleans on Saturday is open. Walmart is open. All of your stores are open. All of you people are buying, selling, and trading and doing business on Saturday, the Sabbath. It's against the law to do that. And even if you say Sunday is the Sabbath, well, you're buying, selling, and trading and doing business on Sunday then, aren't you? You people aren't practicing the Sabbath, irrespective of what day of the week it is. And as a result of that, you're not practicing the fourth commandment. The fourth commandment requires that you keep the Sabbath. It's God's holy day. Now, I'm not here to wail and bewail and to moan and say, oh, brethren, how won't you come and give your heart to Jesus today? I don't give a damn what you do. It's your business in life. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, God told you to make a choice. He said, choose you this day. Elijah said, hey, why don't you choose and follow God? You know, if you want to follow the Baal priest, have at it. You want to follow God, do it. But make your choice. And then when you make your choice, you know, it's like asking for the draw. Should I draw four cards or should I draw to this low pair? You know, I don't know. It's a choice you got to make. Sometimes you draw four cards and they come out better than if you keep a pair of threes and try to draw three cards and to draw a three or a wild card and to fill your hand. But you know, it's a choice that you make. And then when you get your deal, you get your hand, you know, as they say in the card room, read them and weep. You know, you make your choice. That's it. Now place your bets. Now that's the way that game is played. So here in Leviticus 23, here's God comes along and says Sabbath, number one, weekly Sabbath. Now, if you want to know what day the Sabbath is, look on any calendar. The first day of the week is Sunday and the seventh day of the week is Sabbath. Now take a look at chapter 23, verse 3, 6 days shall work be done. You work Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. The seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. It's a holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. How many of you people work on Saturday? I'm just telling you. I'm just a reporter. Now don't get mad at God now because he sent Hurricane Katrina to wipe you out. Now he told you plainly, here's what I want you to do. He told you in three more chapters, chapter 26, you practice the Sabbath, you practice my laws, you do what I tell you, I'll give you these benefits. If you don't, I'm going to give you a blot. Now you just got a big blot down there. And your preachers are looking around and they're saying, we just don't understand God. We just can't figure out why God would do this. His ways are just so high and just so mysterious that we can't figure it out. That's because they've been to college and they got degrees after their names. They're brain dead and there's no hope for them. I mean, hell, I'm a crummy plumber. I can read. So can you. Now take a look at Leviticus chapter 23 and you'll find the Sabbath day, number one, and then you'll find the Passover, the days of unleavened bread, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Last Great Day. Seven annual holy days and 52 weekly Sabbaths during the year. And you guys down in New Orleans are doing what? Fat Tuesday and Mardi Gras Day. And then you got Ash Wednesday and Lent. Can you find Ash Wednesday and Lent, boys and girls, anywhere in the Bible? Can you find Fat Tuesday and Mardi Gras Day in the Bible? And God told you in Isaiah 1 verse 14, he said, I hate your feasts. I hate your Fat Tuesday, and I hate your Mardi Gras, and I'm going to slap you up alongside the head with a hurricane. You got another one coming. It's called Hurricane Rita. I just went up to breakfast before I cut this disc. Last program, I said I couldn't remember. It was R. Hurricane Rita just rounded the turn down at Key West. Key West, which is 8 feet above sea level and filled with sodomites. My God, if I was a sodomite, I'd be living out around Mount Everest someplace, boys and girls. I just want to share with you that a 30-foot tidal surge going across Key West ought to take care of that sodomy problem down there, and it's coming, boys and girls. Now, if you want to live down in Key West with the sodomites, it's kind of like living in Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't think that everybody in Sodom and Gomorrah was a sodomite, but there was a bunch of them in there. And God came along and he couldn't find 10 righteous in Sodom, so he destroyed the whole city. Now, you know, your house might be sitting right next door to some sodomite that God is after. And that might be why your house got knocked down. You're going to sit there and say, yeah, but I went to church and I was righteous, and that sodomite was living next door to me, and then God destroyed my house with the sodomite house, and that ain't fair. Sure, it's fair. I'm going to show you that when we get to Ezekiel 18. Meanwhile, what does Mardi Gras celebrate? Do you know what Mardi Gras is? Well, considering the raucous nature of Mardi Gras, and I want to point out that the God of Abraham isn't very raucous, but considering the raucous nature of Mardi Gras, you might be surprised to learn that the festival has religious roots. Did you know that Mardi Gras was religious? Oh, yeah. Yeah, Mardi Gras is religious. And when you look in the Bible, you can't find Mardi Gras in there. And God says he doesn't like your feasts. And he's got his feasts, and he says these are the feasts of the eternal. Now, I don't think you people down there on the Gulf Coast, or you people in New Orleans, sure it wasn't very many of you, are practicing Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread or Feast of Tabernacles and the Last Great Day. But I'll bet you were practicing Mardi Gras. Or you were living in New Orleans, and you didn't move out of New Orleans. You didn't move out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Stayed right there with them, didn't you? Now, that's what we call in law being an accessory before and after the fact. Now, if you're an accessory, you're going to get punished right along with the thief. See, you don't have to actually burglarize the house. You can just be the recipient of the stolen goods to be an accessory. You get punished right along with the burglar. You cannot participate in Mardi Gras or stand idly by while these guys are practicing Mardi Gras. That's why I don't live in New Orleans. I got the hell away from the big cities. I got out here in the country. I'm going to get as far away from you criminals as I can get. Because when this thing comes to pass, you're going to get hurt. You know, boys and girls, if George Gordon was living in New Orleans, and I had my house in New Orleans, and that hurricane came, do you know that water would have flooded my house right alongside the guy next to me? Water seeks its own level. You can't have a flood, boys and girls, that floods everybody around you and your house is high and dry. I mean, come on, guys, let's grow up and get real. Now, when you get over to Matthew 24, just run through that chapter over there, and he told you, now, when you see Jerusalem compassed by armies, are there any armies around Jerusalem? Well, that place is surrounded by armies. Has been for 50 years. He said, it's time for you to flee to the mountains. Time for you to get the hell out of Dodge. Now, of course, you're going to sit there and say, you mean I should have left in 1948? Yep. As soon as you saw Jerusalem encompassed by armies, you should have got the hell out of Dodge. Get away from the seacoast, boys and girls, because this isn't the only place. The mountains are the better place for you to live. You know, the Boston Mountains of Arkansas is a pretty good place. The Ozarks here in Missouri. Rocky Mountains. You know, the Coast Range. Anywhere but the seacoasts. Get the hell away from the seacoasts. And if you say, well, I was born in Nolens and I've lived here all my life and I just can't imagine living anywhere else, well, stay right there. There's more to come. All right, Mardi Gras is a religious festival. The festivities start in New Orleans each January the 6th. Remember, on the 12th night feast of the Epiphany. Look up Epiphany, see if you can find that in the Bible. I think you'll search in vain. The day, tradition has it, that the three kings first visited Jesus Christ. Mardi Gras, French or Fat Tuesday, is the day-long highlight of the season. While Mardi Gras most certainly has pagan, pre-Christian origins. Oh, let me underline that. Mardi Gras most certainly has pagan, pre-Christian origins. The Roman Catholic Church legitimized the festival as a brief celebration before the penitential season of Lent. Look up Lent in the Bible, see if you can find that one too. I think you'll search in vain. Mardi Gras Day, a legal holiday in New Orleans, is set to occur 46 days, the 40 days of Lent, plus 6 Sundays before Easter, and can come as early as February 3rd or as late as March 9th. Let's see, we've got Lent, Easter, Mardi Gras, Fat Tuesday. All of these are your festivals. They're not the festivals of God. And the God of the Bible said, you know, I hate your festivals. Now, this woman said, horse feathers, there will be Mardi Gras. Well, let me add to that, lady. Horse feathers, there will be more hurricanes and more floods and earthquakes and tidal waves. And then economic catastrophe. And don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success, but there's no such thing as a free lunch, and there's no such thing as a broken law without a penalty. You see, if you could have broken laws, if you guys could practice Mardi Gras and homosexual behavior and these wild, raucous, you know, violations of the Ten Commandments and the laws of God, if you could do that and get away with it, you wouldn't have a law. You'd have some 10 suggestions. I'm just here to tell you that those aren't suggestions, those are laws. When you violate them, it's a breach of contract, and when there's a breach of contract, there's a penal clause in the contract that specifies penalty. Penalty. That's Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. All right, let me give you a reminder here, and we'll be right back. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and the Law School, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports. Reports on law, science, economics, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours. It's free. Call 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org, or call the Law School direct at area code 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. All right, we're back. We're talking about Mardi Gras and Hurricane Katrina. Hurricane Katrina is the natural result of the violation of law. It is the result, it is the punishment that we receive for the violation of the 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments contained in the scripture, which are organized into 133 specific subject matters or laws, like thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt do no murder, you shall have no other gods before me. So idolatry comes into play. Notice here that Mardi Gras is a state holiday. It's a festival. It's a feast, and God says he hates it. And you people down there say, horse feathers, God, we're going to have Mardi Gras. And God says, horse feathers, you're going to have hurricanes, 5 on the scale, and a flooded city. Now, you know, if George Gordon had done to you in New Orleans and the Gulf Coast what God has done to you, you'd not only tar and feather me, it'd be a capital felony. Do you know God has killed 1,000 people down there? I told you, he's got his fingerprints all over that place. I got a signed confession from him. The signed confession is in Leviticus chapter 26. I'm going to flip over here a couple of pages and show you the signed confession. Listen to this. Here's God Almighty. Here's the Creator. Here's sweet Jesus away in the manger. You know the guy you call Jesus and you pray, and the preachers get real syrupy and they say, "Would you give your heart to Jesus today?" You know, I always like these guys. You know, they're serious people, and they really mean. And I'm not, you know, just saying that these guys, you know, are all frauds and charlatans. You know, like Jimmy Swaggart and Jim Baker. I mean, some of them are really serious people, and they really mean well. I think they mean well. They're just dumb as a box of rocks. If they would read the scripture, I mean, I'm sure the scripture would tell them the same things telling us. But see, they go to seminary, and then they get brainwashed into this religion. And then they get off on religion instead of law. The Bible is a law book. It doesn't have much to do with religion. It has a lot to do with law, cause and effect. The rubber meets the road, boys and girls, right here. Here's where the bear does it. Here in Leviticus 26, listen to this. In verse 25, he says, "I will bring a sword." Now, the word sword is a euphemism in the Bible for war. "I will bring a war upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when you're gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you." Pestilence, that's disease. "And you shall be delivered into the hands of your enemies." If you think FEMA is your friends, can you tell me who your enemies are? The government of the United States is a part of this New World Order program. That's not your friend. Now, of course, if that's what you think is your friend, you don't get right after it. But I try to avoid government at every turn. I don't make any deals or covenants or contracts with government. I used to. And then when I got burned, slapped up alongside the head and got knocked around a little bit, and I woke up one day and I said, "My God, what? How come I'm having all these catastrophes occurring to me in my personal life and my business life and my home life, and all these bad things are happening to me? You know, I go to church, pay my tithes, and all these bad things happen." One time I woke up one day and I said, "Hey, listen, if this is God, let me off this boat. Let me get the hell off this thing and go do something more intelligent." Then I got to reading the Bible and I said, "Well, no wonder I'm having a problem. I've been listening to these pulpit parrots and still listening to God." Now, he says he's going to bring a sword upon us. We're going to get a war in here in the United States. And Ezekiel 5, 6, and 7 come into play here, and he says he's going to deport us to Ethiopia, Libya, and Egypt. You'll see that over about Deuteronomy 28, 68. I mean, there's some big bad things going to come down. Now, so far, this hurricane isn't the worst thing that can happen to us. Because in Leviticus 26, he says, you know, here's what I'm going to do to you, and then here's what I'm going to do to you. Now, down in verse 28, he says, or 27, he says, "And if you will not for all of this hearken unto me, but you walk contrary unto me, if you say unto me, horse feathers, there will be Mardi Gras." Go ahead, give me the finger, and tell me, horse feathers, there will be Mardi Gras. In verse 28, he says, "I will walk contrary unto you also in fury, and I, even I, will chastise you seven times for your sins." Now go ahead, give him the finger, you guys down there in New Orleans, you guys out there on the Gulf Coast, and tell him to stick it where there's no daylight and see what's coming next. And that goes for the rest of us, too. I don't want to leave myself out of this. You know, I got to be very careful that I don't give you people the finger down there and tell you, you know, I ain't paying. You know, I'm going to pay my taxes just like everybody else. And here's the way I pay my taxes. When I go into the building supply company and I buy a sheet of plywood, the price of that plywood is going to be 25% higher than it was before Katrina. So I'm going to pay a 25% premium. In Gainesville Building Supply, they're going to take that money that I pay them, and they're going to pay that over in taxes to the government, and the government's going to take that tax money, and they're going to pay it over to Halliburton, and Halliburton is going to take 90% of it, and then they're going to trickle 10% of it down to you people out there on the Gulf Coast. That's the way that's going to work. This is going to be the greatest party for Halliburton and Kellogg, Brown and Root, and the big multinational corporations that the government can furnish. I mean, this is going to be an orgy. It isn't going to do much for you poor blacks in the South, but it's going to do a lot for the lobbying firms in Washington and for the politicians and the political parties. God, they are going to get rich off of this deal. Now, for those of us down here at the lower echelons of reality, you know, down here on the road where the rubber runs over the top of us, it's time for us to start waking up and paying attention to reality. Now, God has some laws that aren't near as bad as you've been told they are. Now, the only people that rail against the laws of God are the preachers. I have never heard a truck driver or a longshoreman rail against the laws of God. He just ignores them. He goes down to Flo's whorehouse to tear off a piece on Friday night. The seventh commandment never enters his brain. He's in heat. He isn't concerned about law. The guys that are concerned about law and hate the law and preach against the law and teach against the law are the preachers. And every Sunday you go to church, they steer you away from the law of God, they steer you away from the covenant or the contract, and they tell you you're under grace and you don't have to practice the law. Hell, even your attorney general doesn't tell you that. You know, you don't walk into court, do you, and say, I'm delivered to do all of these abominations. The law's abolished and done away with. It's been nailed to the cross with the governor, and we don't have to practice the speed laws. We don't have to drive on the right side of the road. We don't have to stop at stop signs. We're freed from this old law of the old legislature. We're under the new covenant, the new law of licentiousness. Go ahead and tell your judge that next time you get a ticket. Go tell the cop that next time he gives you a ticket. Tell him, well, I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. I tell you, boys and girls, we've taken leave of our senses here in this country. We've got our heads up the wrong end of our anatomy. Well, there's the story on Mardi Gras. There's much more here. This came from How Stuff Works. How Stuff Works. Search How Stuff Works on the web. Enhanced by Google. And it's a pretty good story here. How many pages is it? I don't know. It's about 5, 6, 7 pages here on Mardi Gras. They tell you here about New Orleans during Mardi Gras. Make sure your trip is safe and pleasant one by checking out the survival tips offered by the official Mardi Gras site. Hell, you can go to the official Mardi Gras site, for crying out loud. And they've got voodoo down there. And you can practice voodoo and all kinds of weird religious things down there. Economists estimate that Mardi Gras generates more than $500 million for the local economy. By God, now you can see why that lady said horse feathers, there will be Mardi Gras. It's worth $500 million a year to the local economy. Every year, $500 million. My God, that's $500 million. That's a lot of bread. No wonder those guys down there in New Orleans want to get back to cooking. They want to get back to, hey, let's get our stores open, get this city pumped out, let's get these people moved back in here. We got business. Then just the Saints and the Superdome. It's Mardi Gras, $500 million a year. That's why you love Mardi Gras. Now, the second biggest religious festival of the year here in the United States now is Halloween. The biggest one is Christmas. The second biggest money drawing in the country is Halloween. And all of these Halloween decorations that you see in Walmart, that's just open practice of witchcraft. It's the open and notorious worship of Lucifer, Satan, the devil. And we teach our children to do it in our public schools. Now, God help you if you bring a Bible into public school or pray there. But it's okay. We can have pumpkins and jack-o'-lanterns, and we can have voodoo and witchcraft and Halloween. That's fine. There's no problem with that. We can practice satanic religion, but we can't practice scriptural religion. Okay. Now, the next time you have Hurricane Rita headed towards you in Galveston or Houston, you be sure that you pray to Satan. You be sure you pray to voodoo. You be sure that you pray to your gods, the God of Texas or the God of Louisiana, and tell them to send FEMA down here to save us and help us in our distress. What are you going to do to the God of Abraham when he does this to you over and over again? You're going to arrest him, take him to jail, prosecute him, try him, convict him, and punish him? Huh? That's why I tell you, no, it's about time that we sat down, shut up, and folded our hands and did what we were told for a change. Just a wild new idea on my part. Okay, so there's the Mardi Gras story. Mardi Gras is your problem down in New Orleans. Now, the gambling that goes on over there along the Gulf Coast, starting there at Biloxi, Gulfport, Bay St. Louis, you know, and so on, you got these gambling casinos off the coast, and it produces, I heard the other day, $50 million a day. You plug that one in here, 50 times 365. They run them things. That's 18. That's almost $2 billion a year. It's $1.825 million, $1,825 million. It's pushing $2 billion. Big business. 15,000 people working in these casinos. All six of them were wrecked. And they said, take 6 months to get the first one open. Well, they'll open all six. Horse feathers! We will have our casinos! Okay. But your casinos violate the law of God. They violate two of the Ten Commandments. And they violate a very important negligence statute that you find in Exodus 22, I believe it is. Let me flip over here. It's called strict liability. See, God requires that we practice strict liability in place of limited liability. And that's why we want insurance, because God told us not to do that. Yeah, here it is. It's in Exodus 21, 28. Through 36. If an ox gores a man or a woman that he dies, then the ox shall be surely stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten. But if the ox were wont to push him with his horn in time past, and it has been testified to his owner, and he's not kept him in, but that he has killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner also shall be put to death. It's called strict liability. That means that everybody is responsible for his own sins. He's responsible for his own actions. So I'm not responsible for your actions, and you're not responsible for my actions, and I'm going to get punished for my sins, and you're going to get punished for your sins, but you're not going to get punished for my sins, and I'm not going to get punished for your sins. Okay? Now, a sin is a transgression of the law. Sin is the transgression of the law. So go over to 1 John 3, verse 4. 1 John 3, verse 4. That's toward the end of the Bible, right up next to the book of Revelation. And you'll find 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And in 1 John 3, verse 4, it says, sin is the transgression of the law. That's why I told you. I said, there's no such thing as a broken law without a penalty. The penal clause is in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. If you practice this law, you get these benefits. If you violate this law, you get these curses. You get these punishments. That's how simple this program is, boys and girls. You don't need to go to college to figure this out. I didn't go to college, and I got it figured out. Now, of course, these pulpit parrots, they'll say, well, you don't want to listen to that guy, George Gordon. See, he's an antichrist. He's a badass, and you don't want to pay attention to a guy like him. And I agree with you. You shouldn't pay attention to me at all. I didn't ask you to. I think you ought to pay attention to the scripture. If you're not brain dead, if your IQ is anywhere near 100, you can read this for yourself and figure it out. The problem is, you people don't read the Bible. You don't pay attention to the scripture. You pay attention to the pulpit parrot who tells you what to think and what to believe. What I'm suggesting that you do is you go read the Bible for yourself. Now, you Catholics over there can't do that. You forget that. The Catholic dialogue is this. Don't you read the Bible, the priest will explain it to you. And that's because Catholic IQ is always below 100. You Catholics are too damn dumb to read this for yourself. You're incompetent and incapable. Only the priest can read the Bible and tell you what it means. Now, you Protestants over there, your IQs are above 100. Even if you're a dumb Baptist, you could read this and figure it out. Right now, we're talking about gambling. What's wrong with gambling? Well, gambling is limited liability. God said, by the sweat of your face shall you earn your bread. And you're sitting here saying, no, by the luck of the gods. Now, there's a god named Luck, L-U-C-K. And we always say, well, good luck. Good luck. Well, good luck is the blessing or the benediction of the god of luck, which is idolatry and violates the first commandment when you put your $20 bill on the pass line and throw the bones. Now, there's another little story here in the scripture you should be aware of. It's called casting lots. Casting lots and throwing dice are synonymous terms. And casting lots is something that you do to find out what God's will is. So in the olden days, the priest would cast the lots. That's not for you and me, that's for priests. And you were trying to get an answer from God. So you'd say, well, what's the answer to this? And so he would cast lots, and then the lots would tell him the answer, and that was the will of God, because God in the lots would make them come up the way he wanted them to. Now, when you throw dice, the chances of a 7 coming up are 1 in 6. So you put $20 on the table, you throw the dice, 7 comes up, and the croupier puts a $20 chip right down next to your 4 fives, right down next to your bet. And you say, God, that was really neat. I love that. You put $20 on the pass line, you throw the bones, and he puts, now you get 40. You throw the dice again, 11 comes up. Hey, 11 only comes up once every, I don't know, 15 times, I guess. Yeah, no, 16, 17, once every 18. No, a little less than 18, but once every 15 times. But it comes up and he pays you, now you got $80. You put 20 out there, you won 20, you made 40, now you got 40 out there, you made 40, now you got 80 out there. You want to let it ride? You want to let it ride? Or you want to drag some of your chips? So that's called gambling. Now, this gambling produces a lot of tax revenue. It's a lot of fun. You'll love it. I mean, if you haven't been on a crap table, you ain't lived yet. If you haven't been to a whorehouse, you ain't lived yet. Now, I'm familiar with the gambling casinos. I know how Flo's whorehouse works. I know how to pick a girl out of the crowd. I just want to tell you that it's against the law, and if you do that, you run the risk of getting AIDS, herpes, or VD down at Flo's, and you run the risk of getting a Hurricane Katrina if you want to play in the boats. And if you want to live around the boats, I mean, you know, if I owned a house up on the beach and I could look down across the beach to one of the boats, I'd be sitting to myself, well, I'm living here in Sodom and Gomorrah. And one of these days, fire and brimstone is going to rain down on the city. Boys and girls, when fire and brimstone rains down upon Sodom and Gomorrah, it's going to kill the boys, the girls, the babies, the dogs, the cats, the good, the bad, and the indifferent, all the same. The trick is you got to get the hell out of Dodge. And that's why God took Lot, his wife, and his two daughters out of the city. Because if Lot had stayed in the city, he'd have just died there like everybody else. So over here in Ezekiel chapter 18, Ezekiel, it's right after 2nd Hezekiah. You find Isaiah, Jeremiah, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Hezekiah, and Lamentations, and here comes Ezekiel. Got that? Now turn to Ezekiel chapter 18. Listen to this. Ezekiel chapter 18, he's a prophet to Israel. We're living here in the land of Israel. He says, the word of the Eternal, this is verse 1, came unto me saying, what mean you that you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. It's a proverb. As I live, says the Eternal, you shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine, and as the soul of the father, so also the soul of the son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That means souls die, boys and girls. Now, if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, and has not eaten upon the mountains, neither has lifted his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, and neither has defiled his neighbor's wife, and neither has come near to a menstruous woman, that means having sexual relations with a woman with the rag on, boys, neither has come near to a menstruous woman, has not oppressed any, but has restored to the debtor his pledge, has spoiled none by violence, has given his bread to the hungry, and has covered the naked with a garment, he that hath not given forth upon usury, has not paid interest to the bank on the mortgage, has not paid interest to GMAC on the car payment, boys and girls, neither has taken any increase, that has withdrawn his hand from iniquity, has executed true judgment between a man and man, has walked in my statutes, and has kept my judgments to deal truly, he is just. He shall surely live, says the Lord God. See some of those laws in there? Out of 133, he mentions about 10. He says, hey, you do this, and you'll surely live. Now listen up. Now, if this guy begets a son that is a robber and a shedder of blood, and that does the like to any one of these things, and that does not any of those duties, but even has eaten upon the mountains, defiled his neighbor's wife, that's called adultery. That's Mardi Gras time. Defiled his neighbor's wife, has oppressed the poor and needy, has spoiled by violence, has not restored the pledge, and has lifted up his eyes to the idols, has committed abomination, has given forth upon usury, he's paid interest to the bank, he's paid interest to GMAC, and then has taken increase. Shall he then live? He shall not live. He's done all of these abominations, and he shall surely die, and his blood shall be upon him. Hey, did you get that? Now, how much plainer can you get? Hey, boys and girls, if you obey God and keep his commandments, you shall surely live. If you violate the law, you will surely die. And I'm just reporting the facts. I'm just here to tell you. Got that straight out of Ezekiel chapter 18. So you 65% that go to church every Sunday, you never heard that story before. Your preacher never told you that. He never told you about Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. He never told you that there's a cause and effect relationship. He never told you that sin is a transgression of the law, and that the wages of sin is death, and that if you practice these criminal activities, you're going to die. And a bunch of you did. Now, not very many. You got off lucky down there in New Orleans. You're very fortunate. Only 1,000 of you died down there. But you're not going to be that fortunate forever. There's a day of reckoning coming. There's some big earthquakes coming. You guys out there in San Francisco, now learn a lesson from this. It's time for you to shape up. Shape up. And no earthquake will ever strike San Francisco. You know, if you would obey God and keep his commandments, it'll happen to the guys down in Los Angeles, not to you. Because under the terms of our contract, if you practice this law, you get the benefits. You get rain in due season. You don't get hurricane. Now, a tornado isn't rain in due season either. And I live in Tornado Alley. And I take precautions over here. I got a root cellar. And I'm just praying and hoping that that tornado doesn't hit me. And so far, they've all gone over me and around me. And as long as I practice the law, that tornado won't hit me. But if I break the law, then I, just like everybody else, can expect to get punished just like everybody else. It's the way the game is played. It's where the rubber meets the road. All right, you've been listening to The Law Hour and Editorial Review. We'll be back again tomorrow night with more on Hurricane Katrina when we return. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in the United States, and we're heard 7 days a week around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, just go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. Remember, The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, economics, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by time and date. Time's up. I gotta leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.